knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Welcome to Alive, this is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining me. Today I have a talk by Dr. Brian Close, Our Population Control Agenda. Now this was a talk he gave at the Splendor of Truth conference that FLI, Family Life International, organised last October. So here's straight to Dr. Brian.
Which actually ties together all of the different topics that we talk about, from transgenderism and homosexuality to birth control, abortion, and all the rest. It all is in support of one particular goal, to gut down the number of people that there are in the world. The topics I'd like to cover in the primary presentation, which is on the DVD. I just have to bend over, I guess. Okay. So if I'm hunched over up here, it's because of this... it's all right, Paulo. Just carry on. It's all right. Thank you. So I'd like to cover population control goals, strategies, motivations, and why we cannot lose hope. But since we only have 1 hour and not the usual five for this complete presentation, I'm just going to have to skip over the most important points. But it's a very, very interesting topic indeed. So what is the primary population control agenda? It's colonization of the mind. The Senegalese novelist Imoto Kane spoke about this in one of his novels, which means what we do is we can't take over a country by force anymore to have access to its natural resources, but we have to make the people in the developing countries of the Caribbean, Asia, Africa, and Oceania, make them think like North Americans or Europeans. Less children, you know, you'll be richer, your country will be better off if you have less children, and so on. But ultimately, the primary motivation behind all of this is to have access or to steal a country's natural resources. So it used to be long ago that we could take over a country when we were colonizing it with guns and bombs, aircraft, and other weapons like that. But that's no longer acceptable in the eyes of the world community. What is acceptable is to populate or to take over the minds of people by making them think that children are a bad thing, that they'll be better off without them, through birth control pills, IUDs, condoms, injectables, insertables, and like this. This is the more acceptable form of colonization of a country these days. Instead of colonizing the land, we colonize their minds with bad ideas and the women's bodies with bad drugs. The primary weapon is population suppression, holding down the number of children that women have in a target country. Abortion, divorce, cohabitation, sex education, birth control, homosexuality, transgenderism, and so on. Do you really think we care that much about LGBT rights? We really don't. It's a means to an end. Because the more kids we can get dabbling into transgenderism, more kids we can get into homosexuality or bisexuality, the less children they're going to have. Straightforwardly and absolutely can be proven through the things that Father Bouquet and I have seen all around the world. Colonization then of Africa in particular, this is what it used to look like. The countries in the Berlin Concordat of 1890 divided up Africa, so you could see the various portions, such as United Kingdom taking over the southern countries up there. We also see the vast areas of Western Sahara, Tunisia, and so on, taken over by France. But the purpose of all of this trouble was to ransack the country's natural resources. Nothing has changed. This is what contraception imperialism looks like now in Africa. the big pharmaceutical corporations like Pfizer, Sandoz, Teva, Upjohn and Wyeth actually now have broken up Africa into countries in which is their own specific territory to spread their drugs, their abortifacient birth control devices. The occupation of Africa back in the middle of the 19th century, mostly European countries, the army crest, this was done through force of arms, and the arms manufacturers Krupp, Mendlicher, Mauser, Winchester, and all the rest. Once again, nothing has changed. The occupying nations now include the United States, Japan, and other countries that were occupying occupying Africa before. But now the armies are named things like International Planned Parenthood Federation, United Nations Population Fund, Pathfinder International, and Marie Stopes International. The big population control organizations are the armies of occupation in these days. The arms manufacturers of the big pharmaceutical corporations, once again, I've mentioned many of them, Lilly, Novast, Ortho, McNeil, Pfizer, which make a huge amount of money off of getting women on birth control in Africa. 120 million women. The Gates Foundation, Bill and good Catholic Melinda Gates want to get primarily 120 million African women on birth control. That's $60 billion of profit every single year for the pharmaceutical corporations. A lot of money in occupying the bodies of these African and Asian women. $60 billion. And ultimately, of course, the country itself, these poor countries, are paying for all of this birth control. So this is another way we're draining Africa of vitality. Now, if we go back in the history of population control, it all began when the Marquis de Sade spoke for population control in 1790, the man whose name is synonymous with cruelty or sadism. The second stage was Margaret Sanger and Marie Stopes in the 1920s. The third and most active stage, which still goes on today, began in the late 1960s. This is a memorandum from Bernard Berelson, the president of the most powerful population control group in the world, the Population Council, to Frederick Jaffe, who is the vice president of Planned Parenthood World Population. The title was Examples of Proposed Measures to Reduce U.S. Fertility by Universality or Selectivity of Impact. And then it lists all the means we can use to hold down the population of the United States. Of course, a few years later, all of these methods were adopted in our push to hold down the populations of other countries. So we have restructure the family by postponing or avoiding marriage, alter the public image of ideal family size, compulsory sex education of children. Once a country accepts sex education, the battle is lost, because then you start teaching the children that they can go ahead and have sex if they want, just be responsible and use birth control. They slowly corrupt the thinking of the children through 8 or 10 or 12 years of birth control and sex education. So this is what we tell the developing countries. It's not the responsibility of the schools to pass your values on. It's the responsibility of the parents to educate the children regarding sexuality. That's why at Human Life International we recommend educating the parents in sex education and how to pass their values on to the children. Because if you get sex education, comprehensive sex education, into a school, you've lost the battle already. And this has been attested to by Alan Guttmacher and many other pro-population control people. Encourage increased homosexuality. In the United States, we hear this legend all the time about 10% of the population is gay. In fact, the average American thinks that 1 out of 4 people are homosexuals or lesbians. So the propaganda, the actual number is about 1.6%. Educate for family limitation. If you have less children, you'll be better off, which is one of the biggest lies of all. All population control does is it makes large poor families into small poor families. It doesn't help them with better education, better roads, better health care facilities, and so on. All it does is it takes away the future generations of a country, and that's where their strength and power come from. Put fertility control agents in the water supply. This was seriously proposed in the late 1960s in the United States to stop everybody from having children except for a few of the elite who would drink bottled water. And this has actually been proposed for other countries as well. The only reason it has not been enacted is because it would be bad for the cattle. Not bad for the people, bad for the cattle. This is how they think. Require women to work and provide just a few child care facilities. Limit or eliminate public finance medical care and all other kinds of aid to families with more than a certain number of children, usually two. Compulsory or forced abortion of out-of-wedlock pregnancies. Compulsory sterilization of all who have two children, except for a few, the elite, who would be allowed to have three. Confine childbearing to a limited number of adults, usually those who have a higher IQ and who are perfectly healthy and have good eugenics, who have good DNA. Stock certificate-type permits for children. In other words, everyone, when they got married, would be issued two of these certificates. And, of course, you can guess what's going to happen. The poor will sell theirs to the rich, so the rich can have as many kids as they want because the poor are struggling just to get by. So the poor have less children, the rich have more children. Payments to encourage sterilization, contraception, and abortion. This is a very big thing in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh right now. You notice how they talk about people. Constrain them, deter them, control them. This is how you deal with cattle, not this is how you deal with your pigs and your sheep and your goats and your steers, not people. Because a culture of death completely neglects the spiritual aspect of the human being. All they believe that we have is the physical, what you can see, the mental, how you think, and the heart, the emotional, how you relate to other people. The spiritual is completely neglected. And that makes us nothing more than that beautiful good dog over there. The dog has a physical aspect, a mental aspect, he can think, and he has emotions. You can tell when a dog is sad and when a dog is happy, but the dog does not have an eternal soul. So what they're doing is reducing us to cattle with these kinds of propositions here. John Holdren, Obama's director of the White House Office of Science and Technology, his science czar, co-wrote a book with Paul and Ann Ehrlich. This was the author of The Population Bomb back in 1968. And he recommended forced abortions, worldwide two-child policy, putting sterilizing drugs in water supplies, seizing children from unfit or poor mothers, that undesirables be forcibly sterilized, and a planetary police force to enforce population policy. He never gave up these views, and this is why Obama increased population control spending so much during his 8 years in office, because of this guy here, John Holdren. There are many different types of clandestine population control operations going on today, and we have seen these personally with our own eyes. Clandestine means an activity kept secret or done secretively, usually because it's illicit. And there is no morality in the population control movement. They'll do anything they possibly can to hold down the population of developing countries. When I went to the Philippines in 1996, I stayed in the city of Davao with a group of Dominican nuns who were also qualified as medical doctors. And they did two things every day. They prayed and they pulled IUDs out of women who didn't know they had the IUDs in them. Because a few years before, USAID, Agency for International Development, had funded a safe motherhood program where all women between 15 and 44 would get a pelvic examination. But what they didn't say is they put IUDs into every one of them without their consent or knowledge. So a lot of these women died, and all of a sudden a vast area around the city of Davao simply stopped having children entirely. And this is the kind of activity we run into all the time. We're aborting people, we're aborting and sterilizing and contracepting women like cattle, not treating them like human beings.
Okay, we'll stop there. It's 3 o'clock, time for Divine Mercy. Now, this is a fantastic prayer that our Lord gave Saint Faustina, and it really is a prayer for mercy, and God is asking us to cry out for his mercy in these times. Also, it is a fantastic prayer to pray for a person who is dying. And our Lord promised that he would stand between the person and the just God as a merciful Saviour. So what a absolutely fantastic thought as we pass from this world to the next. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Family Life International, who can assist you in all of your needs. There is an 0800 number, but if you want to ring 09629 4360, you will get a friendly voice at the end. And if you want to drop in and see someone face to face, or a free pregnancy test, or all sorts of things, we have items for babies and help, we can discuss all of those things. So give that number a ring. Okay, not much time left. We'll go straight back to Dr. Brian.
There are several clandestine methods of population control, and their purpose is to suppress the population of a developing country under the guise of beneficial humanitarian or other efforts. So we poured about $70 billion in population control operations into Africa in the past 25 years. So the first method is to spend money on population control instead of clean water. 337 Africans still don't have access to clean water. And there are hundreds of different diseases, from bad to trivial almost, that can be transmitted through water. Diphtheria, typhus, typhoid, many others that are killers. As a result of not spending this money on clean water for Africans, we estimate close to 200,000 African children under the age of 5 die of waterborne diseases annually, primarily diarrhea and diphtheria. The second method is to ban DDT under the guise of preserving the eggs of endangered and even common bird species. DDT has been slowly banned in Africa over the past 25 years. It has not been proven to be harmful to bird eggs, and yet about 400,000 additional Africans will die of malaria annually. We use it in the United States and Europe. Why not in Africa? DDT is so safe that one American politician once ate several spoonfuls of it with no ill effect. So why are we banning Africans from having DDT? We're valuing bird eggs over the lives of Africans. Aggressively promote condoms with the full knowledge that they frequently break, tear, and slip off. This is a big thing in Africa. I did a study a few years ago and looked at the number of condoms that people used over there on the average and compared them to the HIV adult infection rate, and there's a linear correlation between the two. The more condoms that are used, the more HIV/AIDS spreads, because all of the condom billboards, and I've got photos of about 50 different condom billboards, all of them say they will protect you from HIV/AIDS in pregnancy. They never tell you that they fail one time out of 14, breaking, tearing, or slipping off. So you see, in the northern part of Africa, which is almost entirely Muslim, they don't use condoms. Their HIV infection rate is about 1 out of 1,000. But then you look at Zimbabwe, Namibia, South Africa, Lesotho, Swaziland, in the south of Africa, 1 out of 3 adults has HIV/AIDS. Can you believe it? 1 out of 3, 30 to 35%, because they use condoms constantly. They're hoodwinked into thinking these things work. They don't. And so you have your HIV/AIDS hospices filled with people who swear that they use condoms every single time. They can't understand why they're dying. Very pernicious. Supply more efficient and deadlier small arms and heavy weapons to both sides of each African conflict. The United States does this extensively. National Security Study Memorandum 201 describes how we do this. And the result is that many more Africans die in conflicts annually. It's a great population control measure. Then we have, believe it or not, contraceptive corn. Genetically modify staple crops so they have a contraceptive effect. Epicyte developed and tested contraceptive corn in 2001 and was immediately acquired by Monsanto, which is the largest peddler of genetically modified organisms and foods in all the world. Now, this genetically modified food is really a wonderful thing in many aspects because it feeds many more people, making the crops resistant to disease, drought, and other pernicious influences. But we don't know whether they're adding the contraceptives to this corn or not. This is an involuntary reduction of fertility, particularly in Africa. And we're seeing unexplained tremendous drops in fertility in some areas of Africa that do eat corn and maize. But we haven't been able to prove anything. With the mentality of the population controllers, we really don't know what's going on. Number 6, a big one, post-abortion care with manual vacuum aspirators, or MVA. Suction machines, Doctors Without Borders, Population Services International, Marie Stopes bring in these suction machines allegedly for completing botched abortions. But what they don't, they can be perfectly well used for early abortions as well. So under the guise of bringing in these machines to help clean up these botched abortions, which their own people often do, they can bring in these machines to do illegal abortions. Marie Stopes itself has boasted that we do illegal abortions all around the world. And I have a video of Paul Corlinson of South African MSI admitting this.
To hear what the population control people are afraid of, you're going to have to tune in next week. With a many winding tongue that leads us to knows where. Brother, so on we go.